Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Are you tired of dents and scratches ruining the look of your car? Look no further than Porter's Body Shop in Brookhaven. Call us at 601-833-1861 or visit us online at portersbodyshopms.com.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from the Super Talk Mississippi app. And, of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget to watch us. We are on Super Talk TV on your computer or your mobile device. And today we're going to talk about an annual event that is a joint effort of many Mississippi's nonprofits. That's a good thing. That's serving people living with disabilities. And joining us today is Ms. Catherine Bishop. She is the Executive Director of the Brain Injury and United Spinal Association of Mississippi. And I'm going to say that once, Ms. Catherine, not five times fast. but welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And this is the 12th annual of the Miss Disability Mega Conference. And you guys look forward to this every year because lots of folks come together to make this happen. So give us a little background about the Mega Conference.
As you said, it's the 12th annual. This is a chance for people to come together. People love to come and make new connections, new friendships, and then revisit friends they don't really see anywhere else. Our focus continues to be increasing knowledge, hope, choice, and fulfillment of people with disabilities and their families.
Which I think anybody can get behind. I love it because we talk about it. I think I don't know how many years we've been helping you guys get the word out about it. But it's the uniqueness of bringing all the different nonprofits together to sort of host this one. And I think that's why y'all call it the Mega Conference.
Yeah.
Because you can hear that and then you think, oh gosh, is it too big for me to go to? But the mega part just comes from all the pieces coming together. Right, Ms. Catherine?
That's a great way to put it. Yes, we try to bring us all together because disability can look a lot of different ways for people. But at the end of the day, we're in it together. So we all come together. We typically have about 350. We anticipate about 350 mm-hmm. attendees. And it's hosted right down the road from y'all at the Hilton here. And it's a wonderful event. We have a lot of fun.
So is it only for healthcare providers or is it for those living with disabilities, those who live with those disabilities? Who is the mega conference for, Ms. Catherine?
It's for persons living with disabilities, their families and caregivers, and as well as professionals and students and anybody that has a heart for the disability community would be welcome. We do offer continuing education for three disciplines, so it's a great spot for professionals too.
What are those disciplines?
Social work, Department of Mental Health, and Family and Marriage mm-hmm. Counseling. Yeah.
So those people that need those CEUs or continuing education, then this would be a good place for them to come and do that. Will y'all have a lot of breakout sessions and speakers, or who's headlining, or keynote, I guess is what they say in the world of conferencing?
That's right. We've got two amazing keynotes I'm very excited about. One is a young lady whose name is Elizabeth Bonker. She is living with autism. She's nonverbal, but learned to communicate when she was 5 years old using an iPad device. I don't want to say the brand, but using a device, she can communicate that way. So she's going to speak with us through her device, and we're very excited. She's been in the advocacy world for about 10 years post-graduation from college. She's got a book and a movie out, and she's just a very inspirational, wonderful person, and we're very lucky to have her coming to Mississippi.
So that's one of the keynotes, which I think would be very impactful, Miss Elizabeth Bonker, maybe. And then Dan Hall, I actually personally know Dan.
Yeah, he's so a great guy.
If you've never had the opportunity to hear his story, which I'll let you share a little bit about it, or hear him speak, then this is a really great opportunity.
It is a great opportunity. He will be with us on the second day, on the Friday of the conference, and he had an accident in 2016 and was left as quadriplegic. So he's gone on to learn to live in his new reality, is I think how he puts it a lot. And it's very inspiring. He's got a very powerful message of faith and family and hope for anybody that finds themselves becoming disabled later in life or having, you know, had that be a lifelong condition, but he's great.
He was our guest preacher during the time of his accident. And so Dan was one of those who was full of life, on the go, preaching, you know, fulfilling, doing missions. And then, you know, just took one tragic scenario where he had his incident, which I won't share his story. You'll have to come to see that. But then his life took a dramatic turn, and to watch him walk through that with faith, but then also still finding purpose and meaning whenever so many would give up, I think is incredibly inspiring. He's definitely worth hearing his story if you ever get the opportunity, which you can have the opportunity coming up in June. What are the dates for the conference, Kathy?
June 12th through 14th. June 12th is the kind of the pre-conference day. We do have we call it the family game night, but you don't have to be with your family to participate. We are the family, the community, and that's always a good time. People love game night. And then Thursday, June 13th is our full day conference, and we have 9 breakout sessions during the day, as well as Elizabeth and a lot of our lunch and award ceremony and gala in the evening that night. That's always fun. We get to dress up and have a DJ and dance, and dress up can look however you want it to look.
Just come with shoes.
Yeah, right? Come with shoes. I know one of our office girls is going to have on her fairy wings, so it's a good time.
Shoes and fairy wings are welcomed. It's definitely, when you mentioned like a community and you think through all the nonprofits or people who come together to put this on, and when you mentioned earlier, Catherine, that disability looks different in so many different sort of ways, just going back to what you do every day with the, I'm going to say it again, Brain Injury and United Spinal Association of Mississippi, yeah. Correct? Myself, I did it twice. So give us a little background. Like, why is your organization so deeply committed to the mega conference and bringing everybody together?
So we've seen with TBI, traumatic brain injury, and persons that live with that following, it affects them all kinds of ways. You know, the brain is in charge of everything. So a brain injury can affect anything: sight, mobility, cognitive abilities, emotional regulation, any aspect can be affected. So really we can find common ground across the board, anything. And we're just, we're passionate about TBI, but we see that the struggle is the same, and the need for advocacy and the need for support and the need for information is the same for the entire disability community.
I think support and advocacy is just such an important part of it. Just having this conversation today, even if someone may not necessarily go to the conference, just knowing that that's there, or looking through all the organizations that will be coming together. I mean, when I'm on the website, which is msmegaconference.org, all you have to do is click the planning organizations and scroll through them. And I'm like, good Lord, there are a lot of people who come together sort of for this and may have resources that someone listening particularly may need. From y'all's perspective, from the Brain Injury Association, what kind of resources do you offer families who may be living with a brain injury? I mean, they may not be thinking they're going to have one, but if they, I mean, what type of resources do you have to offer?
Sure. We serve as a call center. People call into us and we'll help direct them, because you leave the hospital, you have a new diagnosis, a new way of life to deal with. A lot of information is given to you, and going home and trying to process that can be challenging. So we're there to help people process, you know, the what nows, mm-hmm. Of living with a brain injury. We have resources and educational materials, and we provide support groups, this peer-to-peer connectivity. We have one here in the Jackson area. I'm going to plug it right quick.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, absolutely.
The first Mondays of the month at the Flowood Family YMCA, or second Mondays, and you can reach out to our office for more details, but coming together, whether you're a caregiver, family member, or survivor. And then we do social gatherings. Next month, we'll be going down to Twin Lakes for our support group camp out, and any of our members, our activities are always free to them and their families.
And then, too, I know y'all raise great awareness on ways to protect against those TBIs. I know we're coming up in the summer months, so don't dive if you can't see the bottom.
That's great. And wear a helmet. I mean,
while diving?
No, anywhere else. That's what I always think.
Although we should develop one.
If you know
your kid well enough, you may need to, you know, put all the floaties on all the places and everywhere. But if you're interested in the mega conference, it's msmegaconference.org, is where they can register. Can do anything else they need to know real quick?
Just if anybody out there that's unsure about if they want to go or if it's affordable, it's $50 for persons with disabilities. But please reach out via the website or to our organization. Different organizations might have stipends available to help send people. We don't want lack of finances to ever be a barrier if it doesn't have to be.
All righty. Well, I appreciate your time, Ms. Catherine. You guys stick with this. We got more for you coming up next.
Thank you. Be happy.
I'm not worried. I'm happy.
It's me. Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Describe your perfect date.
That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th, because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app, and always on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. Don't forget you can watch us too. We're on Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device. And don't forget that Sports Talk Mississippi will be at Double Decker coming up this Friday in Oxford. It's one of North Mississippi's largest events and festivals, so you're not going to want to miss that. That's coming up this Friday from 3 to 6, right after Good Things. Or maybe you'll be in the air and enjoying, stop by and say hi to the guys. All right, we're going to go back in the Wayback Machine, back in the good old days. And really, I know this is Good Things, and this is a fun conversation to sort of think about and reminisce. I actually sent this to you today, Rhino, and said back in the good old days, and it's actually a Taco Bell receipt from May of 1999. But then I thought, well, this could bring up some, you know, some issues with current day pricing. So don't let it go to negative part of your mind. But it's more of just like y'all remember sort of when. And so it was a receipt. And who still has receipts from, you know, pre-2000s? This is what, 24, 25-year-old receipt? Do you still have receipts?
Who keeps a receipt from the T-bill?
From Taco Bell. Yes.
That just goes in the trash. I'm not trying to file T-bill as an expense on my taxes or anything.
I do appreciate, I know I am averting away, but now they'll ask you, do you want your receipt? And so to give you that opportunity not to, because I'm sure, you know, yeah, think across the board. I know the local Wendy's does that for us, at least. If you think of that one organization, if, you know, millions of people choose not to get a receipt with paper, that saves. But also, you're right, for me, it's going straight from the, as soon as I get my food and I know I got it, into the little trash bin that's there in my car and then out. But for the love of our conversation, I'm glad this person held on to their 25-year-old Taco Bell receipt.
If I had to guess, I would say that's one of those things that it fell out of the bag, or they got it handed to them and they set it down in the car, and then the breeze came through the window and it flipped down in that little crack between the center console and the seat, and it wiggled its way either under the seat or under the console, and it took a deep cleaning to get in there and find that one.
Probably so. Absolutely. And some of you may go, I've got receipts for, I do know in custody situations, some of you, I won't name names on the radio, but some of y'all do have receipts that are like 40 years old. Like the kid's 40 years, the man, the woman, whatever is now 40 year old, kids of their own. But if you're, you know what spouse comes back and want to ask what you pay for, you've got it all figured out in your, that somewhere in a filing cabinet that can all be burned whenever you're dead and gone. So, you know, you may have your Taco Bell receipts if you're living under that kind of pressure. But no, I think this one was just found, and it was also shared out of good fun. And I don't know how many of you eat Taco Bell, but we all can sort of feel the pinch of those fast food prices rising.
I actually think of Taco Bell on a daily basis nowadays.
Do you?
But
why?
I don't eat Taco Bell on a daily
Why
basis.
Why are you thinking about Taco Bell?
It's because Mountain Dew Baja Blast is available in 12-ounce cans. You can get a 12-pack of Baja Blast, and now they've got Zero Sugar Baja Blast, which tastes just like the regular Baja Blast. So I can have my Baja Blast without having to go to the T-Bell.
So is it more of like when you think about it, it's like, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I don't have to visit you. Like, that's a terrible way to think of somebody every single day. I do not think about the bell on a daily occasion. In fact,
I guess what I'm doing is I'm admitting I drink too much Baja Blast.
Okay, so that's what you were doing. Gotcha. So that's your favorite drink of choice.
It has become, yes.
Well, I have never, Taco Bell's just never checked all the boxes for me. So if, you know, I have eaten it, I can't tell you the last time I have. In fact, we
probably back when they still had the Mexican pizza.
Yes, probably so. And then it was not my choice. Like, I was probably I was drugged there by force. No, it was probably,
I mean, well, where else are you gonna get fourth meal at 2 a.m?
This is very true. Lots of getting away from the what do they call it, burying the lead, as they say. So this receipt, I don't know what things cost to Taco Bell now, but I guarantee you probably can't go in there and get four things for under $4. And that's tax included.
No.
Like tax and all of it included.
I don't think you could get a chalupa for less than $4 after tax.
So this receipt reads, I don't know, what is a C? Well, I guess it's a burrito. Something burrito.
There's a C on there?
CC BUR. I'm guessing that's a burrito.
It's probably crunchy burrito.
A crunchy. Well, there's no R, but I get the burrito.
Or I don't know. You don't usually have crunchy burritos.
The rest of them are spelled out for me. Taco. I know exactly what that is. Nachos. I got that down. And a Pep 16. That is a 16-ounce Pepsi. But the CC-BUR is throwing me for a loop. But it's the most expensive thing on here, so I'm going to assume it was their entree back in 1999. Oh, at 1:20. So I don't know if it was 1:20 a.m. or 1:20 p.m. It doesn't tell us that, but it does give us the time of day. 99 cents for a burrito, 69 cents for one taco.
There you go.
69 cents for nachos, and then 89 cents for a 16-ounce Pepsi, which there in itself.
Chipotle chicken burrito is the answer on the C Spire text line.
Were you a fan of the Bell back in 99? Was that a thing?
Who wasn't a fan of the Bell in the 90s? That was when they had the really cool commercials with the little chihuahua, the Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
I can like the commercials and not buy the products. I do it all the time. Let's see.
Well, that's just sad.
Well, why?
They went to all that effort to make a commercial you like, but you're like, nah, I don't need the product.
I was trying to see, did they discontinue it? It has been discontinued since 99, but it was a thing. Quick Google search. Someone knows their Taco Bell history there. Someone says you need to keep restaurant receipts with servers' names. Twice my dad's credit card got copied, stolen. Once was Outback and Brandon. Be careful. Yes, that would be absolutely something you do, but I don't know if, I mean, Taco Bell might could, or like your fast food, but that's not so much as you don't really have servers.
Now we got people chiming in saying it's chili cheese burrito.
So chili cheese burrito, says Alan. CCBR, chili cheese burrito, says Jeff and Pontotoc.
And Alan.
And Alan. So Chili Cheese Burrito was another one. That was canceled too. So I guess both of them, the Chipotle Ranch.
There's a lot of turnover on really tasty things from the T-Bell. Like, does anybody remember the Fiesta Bowls? Where it was a rice bowl? And you get, like, chicken and Mexican
They don't ranch? Still have those?
I think they still have one or two of them, but they had a whole menu of them.
Chili Cheese Burrito Sustan in Hattiesburg, and it was the best item on the menu. Well, that would be, people would fight you for that and, like, the Mexican pizza, but they canceled it too, right? Or did they bring the Mexican pizza back?
I think they
back?
Brought it back, but I don't remember if it was for good.
All I'm saying, and I would have to look at it. I can do it real quick, but
I'm just glad I'm not alone on the ceasefire text line here. We got Kyle in Hattiesburg and somebody from the 662. From the 662, the Baja Blast Zero Sugar is my new jam. Get the fix in caffeine without 125% of your daily sugar content. And then Kyle in Hattiesburg, Baja Blast Zero for the win.
So why I must be missing out on that.
You are. But you're not a T-Bell fan, so you're not a Baja Blast
fan. I'm not a T-Bell fan. I'm trying to look and see how much. I would guess that a 16-ounce beverage at Taco Bell now is almost as much as this person's entire order back in 99. $3.50. I have been appalled at just how much fountain drinks cost these days. I mean, it's like good googly moogly. If you want to save a little money on that, just wait and drink something whenever you get home.
How much were they charging for the tacos?
69 cents.
Yeah, a soft taco is $1.99. A crunchy taco is $1.99. A soft taco supreme is $2.99. And a crunchy taco supreme
How much
is
are the nachos?
$2.99.
Did you just say that? I wasn't listening.
I got to find the nachos. I'm just looking at the tacos.
Burnt my mouth on many of those. Best item on the menu, mentioning the chili cheese burrito.
Chips and nacho cheese sauce is $2.79.
Can you tell me what a 16-ounce Pepsi would cost?
I'm sure I can.
Where are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Taco Bell website, just looking at their menu.
Oh, well, the internet failed
the,
me.
The drinks are still $1.
Okay, so they're hanging in there.
Yeah.
Well, they still went up 19 cents, 11 cents, something like that. Math is hard. But what else has gone up in price since the 90s, if you would know that? 601-879-4395, or a better way of asking that, I remember when blank cost blank. That might be an easier way of putting it. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome Welcome back to Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm and streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And, of course, you can watch us. We are on your computer or mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV, thinking about I remember when blank cost blank. You could probably remember when a phone was given to you by your telephone company or whenever they were much less than the thousands of dollars that they are now and that you have your little computer in your pocket. It's also National Telephone Day, and my, a device that has transformed and also been transformed since its actual creation. As Reba told us, what, back in 1887 is when...
1876.
Or 1876, I got it close, whenever it would be. I would say that the telephone would be one of those things that made, like, the world was never the same. I mean, it was almost, I would say, or it is, as impactful as the iPhone. I mean, the iPhone came in 07, I get that, and it transformed everything. Like, there's pre-iPhone, and then there's post-smartphones.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea of communicating over long distances existed before the invention of the telephone. I mean, you go back to, in Europe, they had these things where it was two articulated arms that they could move around on these towers, and one tower would do it, and the next tower would do it, and the next tower down the line would do it, and it was a way of sending messages really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes Morse code with the telegraph, but that required specialized training or learning the language of Morse code, so there was still a barrier to long distance communication. And then the telephone comes along, and as it quickly rolls out, it allows for easier use. You don't have to learn a language. You don't have to be powerful enough to be connected to the tower signals or any. You could literally, if you could afford the phone and afford the service, you could talk to somebody across the country.
Which was crazy and mind-boggling to sort of think of. I was in the sort of the transition with that. I know party lines, we've talked about that here on Good Things before. And then I was watching House Hunters one night, and they went into an old historic home that had like a telephone nook. It was where you would, because they were big, like they were these big things that would sit on the wall. And so you would sit, like there was like, I mean, well, obviously.
My old apartment had one.
I guess wealthier people, or maybe it was just something that kind of became part of the building. And so you wouldn't just be sticking on the wall this way if you're looking, but then that way, and you could sit down and sort of grab it and make your calls.
Well, maybe not a nook. I had a little indention in the wall where the phone would sit. But
so that would be, yes.
Landlines were gone by the time I moved in. So,
well, that would be the smaller ones. This was more like a historic home went like, and I'm thinking of those where you had to sit, and probably two because you were dressed uncomfortably. Women didn't want to stand in all those things. But it's the one where you would take it off the hook and then have to talk to an operator, and then you would sit there and talk in, you know. Anyway, it was just interesting that we built that into, and now, like, look us, we don't even have, like, landlines anymore. You can carry your phone around with you all the time, and just sort of the way. But at the basis of it, it just remained the same. You dial a number or some form of code, and then somebody on the other line picks up. I think it's pretty cool. Even at, like, your local parks and things, they'll have the I guess with the idea of the phone, so like your kid goes and stands on one side of the park and they've got the little thing and she'll talk into it and then you can hear it and then you can like talk back to it. I don't know how they do that, but it feels like...
You never played with cans on a string when you were a
yes,
kid?
Yes. And you know, we never got far enough away. You could, I don't know if I actually heard it or if I just heard them in the other room. Like you never know like which was which, but these little things that now pop up at parks, it's really cool how they were like, you really can hear them. And I mean, is it just sound that's traveling through a tube or something?
Yeah. I mean, not to get too off in the weeds, but sound itself is a vibration and it's measured in frequency, which is how many times it vibrates a second. But all sound is different frequencies of vibration. So if you can transfer those vibrations through something, then that's how you carry that information. So with like the telephone, it's got a receiver that when you talk to it, the vibrations of your voice move it, and that movement creates a charge that goes down the line to wherever it's going and comes to a receiver that vibrates in the same way, using the same charge, so that you can hear the reproduction of the sound.
Pretty cool. Here's a fun date statistic for you. May of 1967, any of you born then, the country installed, or phone companies across the country installed the 100 millionth telephone line. And now look at us. We don't use an air one of them. I wonder how much line is just running around the country underground that's no longer. I never thought about that. So now my brain just goes to wanting to, like, I don't know if there's a central location that you could just tug and, like, pull it all out. But, like, there's that OCD weird thing in me that just wants to now go and get the satisfaction of just undigging all of that line. And somebody out there is like, you have no idea how much work. And it's not as nearly as easy as it sort of sounds. But gosh, I bet there is miles and miles and miles of telephone line that just...
I'm fairly certain the tensile strength of copper wire is not strong enough to handle the weight of all that copper wire.
The what?
When a material is pulled, it has a tensile strength, mm-hmm. and that's how much strength it takes to break it. And if you were pulling on the wire, it would have the weight of all the wire plus the friction of pulling it.
Why you gotta ruin my dreams? Why you gotta, like, but you imagine the satisfaction of being a superhero and just being able... yank all that up at like one time and free the underground of unnecessary phone lines. Somebody who worked for Bell South, or I guess was, what else? Bell South, and who else would have been out there? I know Bell South for a while was a phone company. It's like thinking, all my hard work. Because before it was like Comcast technicians or all them coming to your house. It was, you know, the telephone operator, the telephone technicians running the lines, doing the things. All the things for that. And then, you know, obviously we've progressed and moved on from that. And let's be honest, most of us, I would love to know percentage wise of phones, how many actual phone calls are made these days. Communication is still there, but like my people will tell you, they don't know why I have a phone. Cause it, I just, maybe my voicemail will tell you I'm not going to answer it. So to text or to email me. So I feel like we've gone in the other direction. I mean, I still talk on the phone if I'm forced to, but it's not my favorite thing to do. So I wonder if actual phone calls per capita have like gone down versus not communication, but just phone calls.
At first blush, I would say yes, but then I remember there's a significant chunk of the population that
are still
wasting
time.
They seem to be on the phone all the time.
That is true.
Like, so have I you guess, ever seen somebody like working and they're on the phone and then they get off work
because it's not me.
And they're still on the phone and then they're at the Mickey D's and they're still on. It's like, are you ever not on the phone?
Or on, like, when the, you know, the craziest thing in terms of phone, I guess, evolution was the earpieces that would connect to your phone. And when they first hit, you know, you thought somebody was just slap mad in the jelly aisle there at the Walmarts or the grocery store because you were like, are they talking to the jelly? Like, who are we? Do you see people? Like, are we, what are we, are you talking to me? Oh, no, you're having a private conversation in a public place. Why are we doing this? But so maybe they take up my talking space. So for every me out there who loathes having to have a phone call. I don't mind talking to people. I just prefer not to do it via the phone. I talk to people for a living. I just prefer not to. I guess we're so distracted now that the idea of just sitting and talking on the phone. But if my parents are listening, they're going rolling their eyes because they know like how many hours I wasted just listening to a friend breathe on the other line. Whenever a phone call was like all you had to connect with your friends after school. So, you know, you never know. You know, you'll go into stages and phases in life, that's for sure. All right, stick with us. We got more for you up next.
Oh, we're so happy, and that's how we're going to stay singing.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Oh, 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 oh,
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app, and you can find us too on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. Don't forget, you can also watch us on Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device. I heard that was Miranda Lander bringing us in, and she's going to be in Mississippi in several different places. She's going to the new theater stage there in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. The name is sliding me, the new amphitheater there. And then she's going to be at Trustmont Park coming up this summer as well. So lots of opportunities to see her. It just made me think of it whenever I heard her music coming in. I'll tell you one thing that's gone up over the years.
The Sound Amphitheater in Gochay,
which I just had.
That'll be September 27th.
They're opening something or another here recently, and I think it went off without a hitch. So a new up-and-coming place for people to go out and enjoy entertainment. Talking about things that have progressed in price over the years, some of y'all can definitely tell us middle-agers stories about...
Well, to them, we're whippersnappers.
Whippersnappers about how much it would cost to go to a concert versus now. Even if you take out... Like, say you could actually... You don't have to do Ticketmaster. You just walk up to the Brandon Amphitheater or the one in Gochay, or you walk up to the Coliseum and you just buy your tickets there and you don't have to pay all the fees and crazy things. It's still insane, the difference in ticket prices. And that's not necessary to them. They've absorbed prices from everything else going up too. I mean, it's just it just all plays together. I mean, there's no just one person saying rise prices, rise. I mean, it's a whole
And it also depends on what act you're going to see. Like, this is Good thing, so we're not going to get political, but there was a viral moment involving John Cougar Mellencamp on stage doing a song and then walking off because he was upset that the audience wasn't on the same page with him. But I heard the tickets to that show were $10. So, I mean, if you're a fan of some of the old stuff and they're still on tour, you might be able to find tour tickets for cheaper.
D. Jones says he remembers when you could get green stamps, free appliances, swap out light bulbs at the electric company, and gas was about 14 cents a gallon when he was little. My daddy, who turned 80 this, well, I guess last year, but he'll can tell you that he used to go, he said, how did he say it? You could see a picture show for 10 cents. And you could get a pickle for a nickel. And that was like, you could get a picture show for 10 cents and see, have a pickle for a nickel. And that's when he was little. And now you got to take out a mortgage to take a family to see a movie.
I always bring it up around Christmas time, but it fits perfectly with this conversation. I think one of the best examples of how far a dollar used to go is looking at the movie Home Alone, where Kevin goes to the grocery store and has two big bags full of groceries, so full the bags break on him. And he spent $20 and got change back.
Could you imagine? Sean said, I remember when I got my driver's license in the 90s, and I could get gas for 89 cents a gallon. So when I stopped to get $5 worth of gas, I'd actually get 5.5 gallons. You know, that was different times, man. Different times. It is, you know, and then when you start trying, when you have children, and then you're trying to teach them about money and doing
the
value of the dollar and all of that. It's just, it's the same. It's the same concepts, absolutely. But it's
just dealing with different numbers.
I got tickled. We're really working hard with Kneebug and like her having to buy certain things and save up money and all the things to realize that things just don't appear. Like, it's just not on a card. And the other day we went in to, and she wanted to buy something, which was fine. And I said, count out all your dollars. I said, before you go in, because we had had a previous experience of she just didn't count her money. And so she went to the store and then she was like $20 short. To which I said, well, you're going to have to tell the nice lady to cancel your order. And you're going to have to go put off all this stuff because you don't have the money to buy it. And she cried. It was a whole thing, but it was a learning lesson. So she had $19. And I said, don't forget tax. And so she went and found the little thing she wanted to buy. It was like $14.99. And I said, okay, do we have enough for tax? She's like, oh, yes, ma'am. She's like, 7 cents. And I said, 7 cents on every dollar, Neely. And she said, every dollar? I said, oh, yes. Oh, yes, honey. And you just wait.
You will be taxed when you get it. You will be taxed when you spend it. And you will be taxed on every other instance of it. It's almost like we're taxed too much.
Wrong show, but I will concur with that. But it was just, but it is neat to see, because if you have been in this that world for so long, I mean, you just, you know, you get it. But to watch it through their eyes, it's like, you know, yeah.
It's a whole genre on YouTube of people, of teenagers getting their first paycheck.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've done that calculation. They know exactly how many hours they worked and what their pay is. And they've done the math. And they pull out that check, and it's not even close to what they were hoping for.
Isn't there one viral video somewhere where it's a little boy, and he cries in the back seat of the car or something like that? Like, he just bursts into, because he pulled up in his... there's no shame in crying if you open up your paycheck and it's half of what you thought it would be. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk Mississippi from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.